Michael Avery, live from the Singularity U South Africa Summit, brought to you by the Development Bank of Southern Africa, building Africa's prosperity.
Electric cars grab a lot of our attention, but I've got the founder of a company that was launched off the back of the world's first round trip on an electric motorbike. It was dubbed Project Storm. Baz Bakaik, who holds an MSc degree in Sustainable Energy Technology at the Eindhoven University of Technology. Baz, great to have you in my pop-up studio.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit how you got involved into the Storm project, which really preceded Spike Technology.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it actually started about five years ago. So we came together with a group of students and we were a little bit frustrated about the slow uptake of electric vehicles worldwide and also about all the excuses that limited the uptake of electric vehicles. And on top of that, we were also a little bit frustrated about the only theoretical angle of our study. So we actually wanted to apply that in practice. So we thought, we combined that and we thought, like, why not show everyone around the world that it's possible to drive electrically everywhere? So that's why we came up with this crazy idea to travel around the world in 80 days on an electric motorbike.
And you must have had the time of your life in that 80 days as well. I'm sure you've got some stories to share. An 80-day trip around the world on an electric motorbike, you think about that and you think, well, that probably would be possible around the US and Europe and parts of Asia. Where were your biggest challenges?
Yeah, our biggest challenge was actually crossing borders. So that was basically it was more of a logistic challenge, actually. So our goal was also to show that it's actually possible to charge everywhere, because our motorbike had a range of 400 kilometers, and within the range of 400 kilometers, and sometimes even more, there's always electricity available. So we literally just knocked on people's door, asked for electricity, just a normal socket, and we could charge our motorbike. And that was the objective of the tour, to show that it's actually not that hard to ride electric around the world.
Yeah, apart from, as you say, the border issues and the politics, as we are living in an era where presidents want to build walls and withdraw countries from established unions. Now, you finished the world tour in 2016, so you've demonstrated that this is possible. Yeah. You didn't decide to leave it there, though. You then founded Spike Technologies. What are you hoping to achieve with Spike Technologies?
Yeah, with Spike Technologies, we actually want to set the next step. So indeed, we demonstrated with Storm that it's possible to drive electric. And with Spike, we want to make sure that it actually happens. So with Spike, we move forward from the technology we developed for the motorbike. So also for the motorbike, we build it completely from scratch. So we learn how it's like to build a battery from scratch, but also the entire electric powertrain. So right now with Spike, we want to enable all sorts of electric vehicle manufacturers to develop products that meet their full potential. So we saw that actually the battery is the most important aspect of a vehicle. It's also the most expensive aspect of an electric vehicle. And there's still a lack of quality, a lack of endurance in these batteries, especially for other vehicles than the big car manufacturers. And actually everything that moves will have a battery sooner or later. And we focus on those applications, and we want to make sure that these applications are, they work to the fullest.
So those batteries will power beyond just electric bikes, potentially electric vehicles and other motors. There's a big race on at the moment in battery technology, isn't there?
Yeah.
You've got lithium ion, you've got potential hydrogen fuel cell batteries. Where do you see the future of the battery going?
Yeah, I think it's inevitable that the future will be electric and battery powered. Also, like hydrogen also needs a battery in a way. So batteries will be important anyway, especially in mobile applications. And I think, there are a lot of new chemistries that are coming up. You hear every day, like, this is the new fundamental change in battery design. But most of these stories are, like, one time in a lab, and then it takes at least 10 years before it's, like, produced on a wide scale, if it's really viable. So I think it shouldn't be considered as a competition. I think all these developments help in the transition towards electric vehicles, which we should make, and that's for sure.
It was quite interesting at a mining indaba here in Johannesburg a couple of weeks ago, listening to the miners, the funders talking about which are going to be the winners, and is it going to be ones that are cobalt or nickel heavy or lithium heavy, and wondering which ones to fund, which ones to back. What are you focusing on at the moment at Spike?
Yeah, so we focus on the currently available technology, so the best available technology, which is indeed based on lithium, also cobalt, but you see there's also a shift towards cells that contain less cobalt because it's less widely available than lithium, for example. So we just work with what's available at this time, because we're not dependent on one supplier in that sense. So we just, all cell chemistries come in the same format. We use the cylindrical format, which became famous because Tesla also uses them. And it doesn't really matter in a way what the supplier is and what the chemistry is. And so we really focus on assembling these cells together to make a pack that's actually doing something within a vehicle. And the cells itself, we do not make them ourselves. So this is done in a lot of Asian countries. And I'm sure they will shift their focus towards what's available at that time.
And in terms of range and the current generation and evolution of this battery technology, what does it offer a potential end user?
Yeah, so you see there's a lot of development going on. So the capacity that you can put in a certain volume and weight is increasing rapidly, especially in the last 10 years. And the prices also go down. But those prices that you see often in the news are often based on indeed the Tesla battery prices. But like the smaller applications, they cannot just knock on the door and ask Tesla, hey, can I use your battery technology? It's not like that, also because there are a lot of ingredients, so to say, within a battery that determines if a battery is suitable for a certain application or not. So we try to make a really flexible design and a modular design so that we can, with a standardized solution, serve a wide range of different vehicles which all have their different requirements. Right. And by that, sort of bringing the Tesla technology to other applications that also need to be electric.
And in terms of funding your business, how many rounds of Series A, B, and C? Where are you at the moment? Do you have plans to IPO in the not-too-distant future? What's your long-term vision?
Yeah, so the vision right now is where we are right now is we're really close to the market. So we're actually having orders from a variety of manufacturers. And we want to continue our growth, so especially within Europe right now. We'll see what is the best strategy in the future. So we're not like focusing on IPO necessarily, but if it will help us to scale faster, we're not. It could be okay.
And your thoughts? I was in Poland a couple of months ago, riding around one of those Lime bikes. Those electric scooters seem to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Is that a value chain that you feed into or market that you service?
No, it's actually everything within sort of. Bikes we're not serving because it's all quite standard, and cars we're not serving, especially not the big OEMs, but actually everything in between. So it could be micro cars or sports cars that are like are more of niche applications. Could be construction vehicles, could be motorbikes, could be scooters. So yeah, that range of vehicles.
And while you're in South Africa, are you chatting to any potential customers here?
Yeah, actually what's funny, not in South Africa, but we are doing a project with a Kenyan motorbike manufacturer. So it's a motorbike manufacturer that normally makes combustion engine vehicles, especially purpose-built for the African market. And together with them, we now developed one electric prototype, which is working quite well. And so we're now scaling that up towards like larger scale production. And that's quite an interesting market, also because indeed, especially in, for example, Kenya, you see a lot of motorbikes, even more than cars, because it's the only way to get from A to B, actually. So, and these motorbikes are used quite efficiently, so quite frequently during a day. And the nice thing about electric vehicles is that they will be cheaper over their lifetime. The upfront investments are higher, which is a problem, an issue, a hurdle in Africa especially, but you need to be able to sort of distract the initial investment and spread it over its lifetime, because then it will win itself away, especially if it's being used so frequently as, for example, the motorbike business in Africa.
Absolutely. Less maintenance, less fuel costs over the life cycle.
Yeah, exactly.
So, therefore, I suppose there is a gap for innovative funders to come and help make it easier to enter into owning one of these vehicles.
Yeah, exactly, because indeed you need to take away the initial investments, but for investors, it's really a big opportunity, because indeed the electric vehicles will prove themselves worthy over the time.
That's fantastic chatting to you. Hopefully get to go for a spin on the electric bike a little bit later on.
I will. Thank you.
Take care.